Welcome back to Alive at 5. I'm your host, David Leonard, and it's my pleasure to welcome the program here this afternoon, Jackie Friedman. Jackie is the author of a book entitled Updraft, The Aerodynamics of Great Leadership. I wanted her to come on the program and spend some time with me today talking about leaders, leadership in general, what that means to an organization, what it can mean to a society, and perhaps where we're at these days, not only nationally, but within our own lives and within our own businesses regarding the subject of leadership. Good afternoon, Jackie. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate you making some time for me. Here at the beginning, for a listener out there that may not be familiar with you, if you'd be so kind, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Jackie Friedman?
Well, thank you. Believe it or not, I'm somebody who's actually found leadership fascinating from a young age, which is really kind of a strange thing. But I was very lucky, and in my first job, I actually oversaw a staff of over 100 people. But I had the real pleasure of working for somebody who was an amazing leader. And we were working with people who were waiters and busboys and, you know, a really interesting kind of labor group. There were also a union there. So I got the opportunity to work with this person and see how her attitudes changed the performance of the people that we had. And it was so fascinating. So today I'm actually the founder and the owner of Delta V Strategies. And I work with leaders and their teams, helping them to embrace, enjoy, and succeed in their roles.
Now, I understand that geese had something to do with your approach to leadership. Am I getting that right?
Yes, you are. That's actually where the idea of updraft came from. It sounds kind of funny. I guess maybe we can say that leadership's gone to the birds. but what I had noticed, we actually live in the path of one of the Canada geese's flyways. And I've as a photographer and just sort of an environmental, you know, wildlife type of person, I've been really fascinated watching some of these huge flocks that go back and forth. And everybody in the country at some point has seen one of those big V formations go over. Well, it turns out that V formation is really extremely aerodynamic. And what happens is that the bird in front of you, when he flaps his wing, he generates a kind of a vortex that comes off his wing that helps to support the guy behind him. So the guy in front of you is helping you, and you're helping the guy behind you. Well, that vortex is actually called updraft. And I found that it was really fascinating, so that every bird is helping themselves, but is helping everybody else, and they're all helping the progress of the flock. And that's why in a V formation, birds can actually fly much faster. I think it's up to 70% faster than they could if they were alone. So I thought, wow, what if you had an organization where every single person is helping and doing their own thing, but by doing that, they're helping everybody behind them. So if that was going through a whole organization, imagine what kind of progress the organization could make.
Well, certainly I would say that would be a great goal for any organization to have. But on the other hand, that cannot necessarily be an easy thing to achieve, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. And that's sort of the crux about great leadership, and it's really a great observation too, David, because the guy at the front of the V formation, in fact, the goose at the front of the V formation has one of the hardest jobs, because they are the one that's kind of taking the direction and keeping everybody on track and moving things forward. And that leadership position is one of the toughest ones in the flock. So you're absolutely right. It is not an easy thing to do.
Well, let's talk about that. First of all, I think you touched on it a little bit, but I'm just going to ask you plain and simple, why is it so important to have a good leader in a leadership position? Why is that so critical to an organization?
I think that, you know, it's like, I think everybody knows that leadership's important, but I think that's a great question, because I think that really understanding what that leader's supposed to do, most people don't really necessarily understand. So if there's nobody in that front position, then we're just sort of all flying around. We're not focused in a direction. We're not aware of where we're going and why we're going in that direction. And everybody's sort of doing their own thing, but we're not necessarily making any progress because we could all be flying, you know, in a different direction.
No doubt about that. In fact, you find that in organizations. So when we talk about why, I guess one of the things you've just touched on, something that has always struck me as being an interesting idea, is that while everybody says, yes, leadership is important, not very many people, I think, really understand what goes into all of that. And so when you talk about that, what qualities does it take to be a great leader?
And that's a great question as well. And it takes a whole bunch of qualities. And I think it's an interesting question because I have so many people that will say to me, well, can you tell me, give me an example of a great leader? And it's really hard to do these days because it encompasses so much. But a great leader is bringing kind of three general things, and these are very big categories when I say three, to the organization. So first of all, of course, they're bringing themselves. They're bringing who they are, what kind of integrity they carry with them, the way they impact the organization. And a lot of leaders don't really see how critical that is because they have a huge impact on the organization. They're bringing their expertise, but they're also bringing their perspectives and their biases. So they're bringing, number one, they're bringing themselves. Number two, they're bringing their own understanding of what an organization needs. And what that does is that impacts the culture. So the leader themselves is really, in a very huge way, determining what that culture is going to be based on what their attitudes, the way they treat people, the way they respect or don't respect people. And that's a big, big, big piece of what an organization actually feels like and how it performs is what that culture is. So they're bringing themselves, they're bringing that culture, and number three is they're bringing direction. And this is where a lot of people actually kind of fall down, is just like that goose at the front of the V formation, we need to know where we're going. That's what leadership is all about, is sort of focusing people and focusing their energies in a certain direction. So the third thing that they're bringing is where we're going, you know, what we're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. And any organization needs that direction. You know, I'm curious, when you think about the ideas that people have for what it takes to be a good leader, Jackie, what are some of the misconceptions? What are some of the things that people get wrong?
Really interesting. I'll give you, there's a handful of them, but let's stick with the top three. So I'd say that the top three, number one, is some people think that leadership is about power. And in fact, they couldn't be further from the truth. Leaders are comfortable with power, and they know how to kind of use and utilize power, but it's more of a side benefit or something that just happens, but it's not what a leader's actually looking for, because leaders are really more interested in giving other people power and allowing other people to perform and be empowered. So they're actually very comfortable giving power away, but there are a lot of people that think that leadership's actually about power, and it's not. So somebody who's looking for power, not necessarily going to be a great leader, because they really need to be comfortable giving it away rather than holding it on to themselves. I think the second, I'll call them the myths that people have, is that technical expertise translates to leadership skills. And you see this all the time. You see somebody who's a great salesperson, and they're out there, and they're hitting the street, and they have just, you know, they're kind of killing, you know, all the goals that are put out for them. They just go right by them. So somebody says, wow, you know, they're a great sales guy. You know, we just had a sales manager position open up. Let's promote them. And they get into that sales manager position and they don't do a great job. And everybody's like so confused. Well, if we think about what it takes to be a great leader and what it takes to be a salesperson, there's certainly some overlap, but sales management is all about helping other people to achieve, where being the great salesperson is about doing it yourself. So it doesn't mean that they couldn't be a great leader, but those technical skills as a salesperson don't necessarily translate into being a great leader. So that's probably, that's our second, again, myth. And then the third one that I see all the time when I work with people is leaders often think they need to have all the answers. And really strong people in leadership positions actually know that their job is to get all the smartest people around them and let those people sort of go to town and just encourage those other people to be performing. And again, you know, just like with anything else in life, there's nothing wrong with saying, geez, I don't know, I need to go out and learn that. You know, that's a strength. I see that as a strength. But a lot of people in leadership think that that's a weakness, that they can't admit that they don't know something. And I think, you know, it just, it really humanizes people. And really, it also shows that you're looking forward, you're continuously learning. So I think that third one would definitely be that, you know, you don't need to have all the answers.
Well, and certainly, I think you bring up some great points there. You know, one of the things, and when you talk about the second one, that being a great technician is not necessarily going to translate into making you an effective manager or a great leader. I personally witnessed that. You know, I can think of different people I've known. I've known somebody who, one of the best auto mechanics you could ever hope to be around, and ended up in a management position in the business and wasn't really happy doing that. Was a lot happier spinning the wrenches and doing that sort of thing. You know, it's because, and that's not to say that people can't learn those skills. Obviously they can if they apply themselves to them. But let's face it, it is a different skill set is what I hear you saying. And quite often, and that can lead to trouble in an organization.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a great example, David. That's a terrific example. And you have that a lot. You know, we have such a proliferation of small businesses now. So I'm a great, you know, engineer. And so I decided to go off on my own. And then the next thing you know, I've been successful and we've brought in clients. And, oh, my goodness, the next thing I know, I've got, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 employees. But now rather than spending most of my time doing that engineering, all of a sudden I'm spending most of that time leading a company, just like the mechanic. He spent all of his time actually on, you know, working on automobiles, on cars, and now all of a sudden he really doesn't get to do that much. He has to oversee all these people. And like you said, it is a completely different skill set. We're not saying that they can't, of course, but a lot of times it's not the smart move. And then we get to another level, which is that most organizations don't have the kind of support in place that would help that person to move up into a leadership position. Because most of the time they're sort of just thrown to the wolves. It's like, guess what, you got a promotion. And that's sort of the end of any kind of support or learning or mentoring. That's sort of the end of it, and then everybody's really surprised when it doesn't work well. Or, as you said, they just don't even enjoy it. It's really not where they're happy.
I'm visiting this afternoon with Jackie Friedman. Jackie is the author of a book entitled Updraft, The Aerodynamics of Great Leadership. You know, Jackie, we've spent some time here talking about different qualities of leaders and what some of the myths are about leaders, but I'm going to just ask you bluntly, from your point of view and your experience, what is the main job of a leader? What is a leader really here to do?
I believe that the primary job of a leader, what they're really there to do, is to supercharge the organization's most important asset, which is, of course, its people. If we can engage those people and get them excited about their work and about what we're trying to accomplish, that is such a huge, huge accomplishment in and of itself. because we've supercharged them. They're excited to come into work. They can't wait to come in and work on, you know, whatever that goal is that the organization's working on, whatever it is that organization's trying to achieve. And I think when you harness that power, that performance is just, that's where those companies start going off the charts and people go, oh my gosh, you know, how are they getting that kind of performance? And I don't understand. It's because they're getting that whole aspect of the firm, all the people, they're excited about what they're doing and they think they're making a difference. So I think that that's really the biggest part of that. That's the goal of the leader. And when the leader focuses on that, then the organization itself will take care of everything else. That's where that great performance comes from. That's where great customer service comes from. You know, that's where brilliant new innovations come from. Is it comes from people who are excited about what they're doing every day.
The word engagement that you're using there, I've been wanting to ask you about that today. When you use the term engagement, elaborate on that for me. What exactly is it you're referring to?
So I'll ask you a question, David. Do you love going to work? And I use that word love very intentionally. So employee engagement refers to the connection between a person and the company they work for. And when someone is engaged, they are over and above just like, yes, I have a job, and yes, it's, you know, a lot of people are satisfied at work. It's okay. They do their jobs. But when somebody's engaged, they're going over and above. They actually love what they do. They love the company. They really, really have this very, very strong connection to the company. And the interesting thing about that is that you might think, okay, well, that's, you know, again, you know, that doesn't sound so bad, except that it turns out the employee engagement level in North America is 29%. 29%. So that means that if you've got 100 people working for you, 29 of them, and that, of course, is just on average, 29 of them are actually happy about coming to work, are excited about coming to work. So if you think about that from a monetary standpoint, you're not getting much back on that investment. You know, if you think about it just from a payroll, it's like, wow, you're putting a lot of money in, but you're not getting a great return on that because the vast majority of people walking through the door are not engaged.
Let's talk about engagement from this point of view then, Jackie. What would you say are some of the obstacles that get in the way of employees becoming engaged and things that leaders, managers can do to deal with that situation?
Terrific question, David. It turns out, and certainly when leaders hear this, they're not so happy about it, but it turns out that most of what gets in the way of engagement is the organization itself. And so what I mean by that is that the attitudes of the organization, the culture of the organization, all that stuff is going to go into engagement, whether or not somebody's engaged. So I'll give you, you know, just a quick example. I had spoken with somebody who works for a huge company. Okay, we're talking, I believe they're a Fortune 50, so very, very large global company. And this person is in charge of in the IT area, and they're in charge of a service of a program that they needed to renew something with a vendor. So this was going to cost, I believe, $5,000 to get this all settled. So with a company like this, we're talking about $5,000. This is a rounding error for this company. They're that big. It took him 3 weeks because he had to get, I think it was five other people above him, had to sign off on $5,000. So he was so disengaged because here he was, he knew what had to be done, he's in charge of the system, but the organization put all this stuff in his way so that he couldn't even do, you know, speaking with him, it literally took him the better part of 3 weeks to get this to happen. All the work he couldn't be working on, And he oversees employees, so he was having to kind of put off discussions with employees, having to put so much effort into something so silly. And organizations don't realize it, leaders don't realize it, but those kind of barriers and obstacles, they're all over the place. They're really all over the place. And they're certainly unintentional, but that's sort of the issue, and I think that's why the engagement rate, the employee engagement rate is so low, is that organizations don't see how much they put in the way of their employees. They really don't see how much they put in their way.
You know, I have heard the phrase, and I wanted to share this with you, and I just want to bounce this off you today, Jackie, and see what your take on it is. But I've heard this phrase used in different contexts over the years and throughout my working career. And the phrase is, morale begins at the top. What do you think about that? Is that true?
I think that's a great phrase, and it definitely does. It definitely begins at the top. Certainly, if the people at the top aren't happy and aren't engaged, and sadly, the engagement numbers actually on managers and leaders is only at 34%. So that's not really all that much better. If they're not coming in and they're not excited about what they're going to do, what they do, how can they possibly inspire and motivate everybody else? And it's funny because, David, that actually goes back to our geese and our V formation. So if the person in front of me isn't creating updraft in their job, if they're not engaged, if their morale is low, all the people behind them are going to suffer. So I think that's exactly, you know, if the people at the top are not happy and are not engaged and are not excited, there's a very low chance they're going to certainly inspire anybody else.
In terms of what can be done, I guess, for an employee or for a manager, what are some of the things they need to be aware of, I guess, if they have concerns about the leadership in an organization, what are some of the things that they can do?
I think probably the first thing they really need to do, and it sounds kind of funny, but the first thing they need to do is to start sitting down with whatever that management team is, or, you know, even if it's just an owner and they're like maybe their top staff people or whatever, and start talking about engagement and really, you know, start considering it because of the impact that it can have on organizational performance. Very few organizations really talk about it, and it's funny because now we have so much more research and statistics about how powerful it is. They need to just really start by talking about it and maybe even doing a little bit of research on what people are saying about it. Certainly, you know, what a lot of companies do is they kind of run right in and they start doing, you know, employee engagement surveys and all that kind of stuff. But I think really that the critical thing is to start understanding what it is through some discussions and start understanding how leadership is responsible or getting in the way of that engagement.
Jackie, it's been a great conversation with you here today. If we have a listener out there that would like to be able to get a copy of your book or maybe take a look at your website and learn more about your work, how can they go about doing that?
Well, thank you. The book, Updraft, is available both on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. And there's more information about the book at www.updrafttheBook.com. And, of course, I can also be reached at www.deltavstrategies.com.
Very good. I want to take a moment now to thank you for spending some time with me here this afternoon. We've appreciated hearing from you.
It was an absolute pleasure, David. Thank you so much.
That's Jackie Friedman joining me here this afternoon on Alive at 5. She is the author of Updraft, The Aerodynamics of Great Leadership. Keep it tuned right here to Yankton's home team, AM 1450 KYNT, and we'll be right back after this.